Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty has clashed in the Dáil with Marine Minister Kylie McTonaghlog over his response to letters from Aaron Moore-Fisher, Maren Kavanagh. Comments about the killing of George Nkencho by Gardaí resulted in the Dáil being suspended earlier. Gardaí say there's no reports of injuries following a fire at Ross Bracken outside Letterkenny last evening, and a search has been conducted and a man arrested in Derry following the discovery of £42,000 worth of suspected drugs at the start of the month. These stories in full, plus more to follow. All latest in sport coming up at around 5:15. First in news, Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty has clashed in the Dáil with Marine Minister Charlie McConnellogue over his response to letters from Aaron Moore-Fisher, Maren Kavanagh. The minister accused Sinn Féin of being empty vessels when it came to fishing policy. Deputy Doherty claimed that Maren Kavanagh has had to fight for the right to fish because Minister McConnellogue isn't doing his job. Deputy Doherty claimed that Minister McConnellogue only communicated with her on the day she was appearing on Highland Radio.
The closure of that area, you won't allow for a heritage licence, something that your government has. The only time you reached out to Maren Kavanagh was after she went on media. That very morning. That's the reality. Twice she wrote to you. A young 14-year-old fisherwoman from the Ardmore Island. She watches from her bedroom as the super tankers sweep up fishing at her and you prevent her from fishing with a line. You will not carry out the reassessment we want in terms of the evidence in relation to the closure of that area.
I'll always tell the truth, Deputy Doherty. You're not telling the truth here in relation to the response I gave to young Maren Kavanagh, because I wrote her a handwritten letter explaining... Deputy Doherty, again, you're not telling the truth here. You might like to portray it as otherwise, but you're not telling the truth. I wrote her a handwritten note explaining the situation. Unfortunately, on that issue, as in many other issues in fisheries, Deputy Doherty, you and your party are an empty vessel. You have come forward with nothing of substance. All you try and do is exploit the situation and make it sound like you've something to offer when you've nothing to offer.
She wrote to you a second time. The parents were going on radio and you sent a note with a handwritten note to her at that point in time. Don't try and mislead the Dáil. This is a young person who's standing up not only for her own rights, but fishing rights across the community, who's currently in Strasbourg because you're not doing your job.
Well, the Marine Minister is facing further calls for financial support for inshore fishers in Donegal. Councillor John Hamish O'Farry says fishing families are facing hardship and are in need of support from government as they continue to navigate cuts to fishing quotas. Minister Charlie McConnell confirmed at a meeting of Donegal County Council's Fisheries Committee that he would explore what assistance is available. Councillor O'Farry says fishing families cannot continue as they are.
I did demand that of him, and he said that he would look into it on negotiations at the moment with his colleagues there in the department to try and assess the families that are hard hit in relation to the fishing industry. As you well know, that over the last number of years, the quotas and quota bans have not been great for Irish fishermen, and in relation to vessels being decommissioned, they're finding it difficult. So yesterday was an opportunity to ask the minister to try and get some support for these inshore fishermen and their families as well. If you look at the industry as a whole, they provide a lot of jobs, and also when you look at the EU, the regulations that are coming and rules in relation to fishing, taking, for instance, the likes of the young girl from Ardmore Island, Kavanagh. She was in Strasbourg yesterday pointing out the effect that this will have, that the pollock ban or the line ban fishing on pollock, which will have a huge effect. And it's not just Ireland, but in other countries as well. But my main concern would be that there'd be support there for the Donegal families that are in the fishing industry.
Because this does affect a huge cohort of people in Donegal, given the county along the coast.
A lot of people are unemployed around the coast, not alone in the fishermen themselves and their families, but the industry as a whole, it provides other markets, not in Ireland, but in Europe. And it's important that our representatives in Europe fight hard for their fishermen in Ireland and especially in Donegal.
Comments about the killing of George Nkencho by Gardaí resulted in the Dáil being suspended earlier. The 27-year-old was shot in the front garden of his home in Clonlea in Dublin in December 2020. Yesterday, the DPP said no officers involved in the incident would be prosecuted, while Mr. Nkencho's family is due to appeal the decision. Ciarán Cúrla, Sean O'Farrell prevented People Before Profit TD Mick Barry from asking questions about the DPP's decision in the case.
We have, as a matter of long-established principle here, the separation of powers. Separation of powers means that in this House we do not criticise or comment on affairs before the courts. The Director of Public Prosecutions is independent in their remit, and their actions and decisions may not be commented on here in this House.
Gardaí say there were no reports of injuries following a fire at Ross Bracken outside Letterkenny last evening. The Donegal Fire Service says at about 20 past 8, Letterkenny Fire Brigade was alerted to a commercial or industrial fire at Ross Bracken, with the first engine arriving at the incident within 15 minutes of the call. Fire engines from Stranorder and Buncrana Fire Brigades also responded to the incident, which involved two storage facilities. The last appliance left the scene at around 5 to 2 this morning. A search has been conducted and a man arrested in Derry following the discovery of £42,000 worth of suspected drugs at the start of the month. Police intercepted the parcel containing 3 kilograms of suspected herbal cannabis on Tuesday, the 2nd of April. A search was then carried out in Berivale earlier today, which seen a 59-year-old man arrested on suspicion of a number of offences, including importing a controlled drug and attempted possession of a Class B drug with intent to supply. He's since been released on bail to allow for further inquiries. Donegal Airport has been allocated almost €1.3 million. The investment announced this afternoon by the Minister of State at the Department of Transport, Jack Chambers, will go towards safety and security improvements. It's part of a national €5.6 million package. The allocation will also assist Donegal Airport in meeting their carbon reduction targets. Minister Chambers says the passenger growth is essential for connectivity in Donegal.
Delighted to be here at Donegal Airport this morning for a really important investment by government into this airport, but also regional airports across the country. We're investing €1.3 million in the airport in 2024. That's to support a new aerodrome ground lighting project and also a number of carbon reduction and sustainability measures. We're really keen to support ongoing connectivity and passenger growth for Donegal Airport, and that's why the regional airports programme is absolutely central to ensure that we build the passenger numbers and support citizens working and living in Donegal for ongoing connectivity with Dublin, so they're connected to Europe and indeed the rest of the world. And we're delighted to see ongoing investment in Donegal this year and for future years.
Gardaí in Donegal are again asking the public to not take risks when driving. It follows one driver being detected at 51 kilometres per hour over the 100 speed zone in Letterkenny on Tuesday, and another motorist failing a drug test in Ballyshannon in the early hours of this morning. The Letterkenny driver will now receive a fine of €160 and 3 penalty points. Meanwhile, the second motorist who tested positive for cannabis was arrested. Gardaí say decisions such as these can have irreversible and tragic consequences. Well, the Road Safety Authority says an unacceptable amount of people continue to drive after drinking alcohol. 69 people have been killed on the roads so far this year. Drink drivers or those who refuse to provide a breath sample can be taken off the road from 3 months up to 6 years, depending on the offence. Dave Martin from the RSA says people are driving when they know they're over the limit.
Drink driving, which we kind of thought as a society was a thing of the past, there's now an increased tolerance for it that we're seeing, and people think it's okay to have one or two drinks and drive short distances, or they're really, you know, going into work or early the next morning going somewhere driving, knowing that they're probably still over the limit. People are doing it and knowingly doing so. It is a matter of records that, you know, we want more Garda enforcement. We welcome the recent announcement from Gardaí that there will be more high visible policing on the roads, because if people feel they're not going to get caught, they will indulge in these bad behaviours. So we do need more Gardaí enforcement for sure.
Gardaí are continuing to investigate all of the circumstances surrounding a suspected hit and run in Carlow last night, in which a man in his 30s was killed. An incident room has been established at Carlow Garda Station. Andrew Louth reports.
The body of the man in his 30s, a motorcyclist, remained at the scene between Rathaw and Ballin in Sandbrook until lunchtime, after he was first found at around 11 o'clock last night. He died after a collision between his motorbike and a car, which was found burnt out at the scene. None of the car's occupants remained at the scene. It's understood the deceased man was not from the Carlow area. His body was removed to University Hospital Waterford, where a post-mortem is due to be carried out. Gardaí are appealing for anyone who was in the Rathaw and Ballin areas between 10 o'clock and midnight last night to contact them. Andrew Loud in Carlow.
A youth peace summit is taking place in Derry today, and it will hear from over 80 young people across Northern Ireland and the border regions to discuss how they can contribute to the unfinished business of peace and reconciliation. South African campaigner and influencer Candice Mama is the keynote speaker at the event organised by the John and Pat Hume Foundation as part of the Good Friday Agreement celebrations. 16-year-old Corinne Heron from Strabane welcomes the opportunity to be a voice in an inclusive peace plan which is being advanced.
It'll be part of the peace and the new peace plan for young people and for adults. It'll be exciting to look back on in years to come and see how we made that change at a young age. They also help other young people make that change.
And for yourself, just being 16, you obviously don't remember the troubles of the past that much, but you feel it is important to share your voice in this.
Whilst Northern Ireland's come so far in its last 26 years in peace, it remains unfinished. It's felt basically like on my generation so much, who weren't even born in 1998, but who's living in society which hasn't dealt with that legacy of the past.
And what would your direct message be to those that are in power that can achieve this?
As we were saying yesterday there, is it's actually the fact that just people now my age is going to have to deal with it in the future whenever these people who are making these decisions around here. Young people have a key role to play and must play a part in making those decisions that's going to impact our future.
And do you feel that your generation has moved on predominantly from the past, and that it is possibly an older generation, those of the age of those in government, that are holding things back?
Yes, definitely. The younger people have moved on. Now, we haven't fully moved on because of young people following in older people's footsteps from at home, at work, at school, etc. But we will get there eventually if we keep running peace events such as this and going on to youth clubs, schools or whatever, spreading that positive peace message.
The time's now 12 minutes past five. We're going to go to a short break, and Mark Gallagher will be back with all the latest in sport.
Was that milk still in date? I was muted on that call, wasn't I? Am I after losing my car keys?
Most things we worry about never happen. And with Liberty Insurance, you can worry less about things that do. Especially now that you can get up to €300 off your car insurance at libertyinsurance.ie. So you're free to worry about literally anything else.
Did I send that to the entire group chat?
Or not worry at all. Less worry, more liberty. Online discount applies to new private car policies only. Maximum discount €300. Subject to minimum premium and applied before optional covers. Acceptance criteria, terms and conditions apply. Liberty Seguros Compañía de Seguros y Ría Seguros S.A. Trading as Liberty Insurance is authorised by the General Directorate of Insurance and Pensions Funds in Spain and is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland for Conduct of Business Rules.
What makes your farm tick? The animals. The tractor's engine. The machinery. And what makes your farm dangerous? When these become background noise and you don't notice the danger. Always beware of machinery on the farm. A message from the Health and Safety Authority and the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine. Visit hsa.ie.
If your dog attacks someone on your street, it's not your dog's fault. If your dog bites a child and disfigures them for life, it's not your dog's fault. So, wherever they are, keep them under control at all times. Because whatever they do, it's not your dog's fault. It's yours.
Your dog is your responsibility. Visit gov.ie/dogs to find out more. A message from the Government of Ireland.
March trade lights up. For more in your Irish Farmers Journal, is Paul Mooney.
We reveal what's driving cattle prices higher. Prices rocket for marginal ground in the west. Spring lamb prices heading for €10 per kilo. Farmers slam department support for Shannon Callow's flooding. Opposition intensifies in Mayo to French firms' forestry plans. Plus, as stock are turned out, we have all you need to know about upgrading and replacing fencing in our farm infrastructure focus.
All inside the Irish Farmers Journal. You cannot afford to miss it.
Join me, Marty Friel, every Friday night from 8 for Rockin' Hits on Highland Radio in association with Arena 7, where you can enjoy dinner and drinks in a Woodbury Grill, bar and restaurant before bowling in Arena 7's state-of-the-art lanes. See arena7.ie.
Don't miss the BAFTA award-winning comedian Michael McIntyre's brand new show, Magnificent, at the SSC Arena Belfast on Friday the 31st of May 2024. As always, Highland Radio make it easy for you as we look after all your needs. We will provide luxury transfers, overnight stay at the Clayton Hotel Belfast on a B&B basis, your ticket to the show, shopping time in Belfast City Centre. For more information, go to the outlet at highlandradio.com or give us a call on 074-91-25000. Michael McIntyre in Belfast.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15. Mark Gallagher has all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Donna Marie. Good evening. We're going to start with soccer. And Manchester City can go second in the Premier League this evening with a win at Brighton. It's the first of two games in hand that the champions have on leaders Arsenal, who they currently trail by 4 points. City boss Pep Guardiola has been highly critical of fixture congestion that his players have faced recently, but he has dismissed suggestions that the club shouldn't take players on pre-season tours.
To pay the salaries for the players and the manager and make a better stands, a better facilities for the fans or better, and to know the club around the world and all the fans around the world, they want to see us and they need that financial.
Meanwhile, Brighton manager Roberto De Zerbi doesn't think Manchester City will be too weakened by potentially missing their star striker this evening. De Zerbi had a little joke about the impact of not facing an injured Erling Haaland.
Great news, because Haaland is a top player. Unfortunately, they will play with Alvarez. Bernardo, a big player. Doku or Grealish, both are big wingers.
That game kicks off at 8 p.m. In boxing, Aoife O'Rourke and Shannon Sweeney will both have the chance to box for gold at the European Championships. O'Rourke beat Turkey's Isra Ishildar by split decision to advance to the middleweight final, while Sweeney was a unanimous decision victor over Anoush Grigorian of Armenia in the light flyweight semi-finals. But both Kelly Harrington and Niamh Faye must settle for bronze, having lost their respective lightweight and bantamweight semis. In golf, Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry are teammates for the Zurich Classic of New Orleans on the PGA Tour, which got underway this afternoon. The format is team stroke play with 4 balls the method for the first 18 holes. The Irish duo tee off just before 6:45 Irish time. In snooker, David Gilbert leads Robert Milkins by 5 frames to 3 after the first session of the World Championship second round contest. This evening we'll see John Higgins resume with a 5-4 lead over Jamie Jones, and Mark Allen awaits the winner of that one. Earlier, Ronnie O'Sullivan completed a 10-1 thrashing of Jackson Page to set up a second round contest with Ryan Day. In darts, Luke Littler will open proceedings at tonight's Premier League event in Liverpool. The 17-year-old plays Welshman Gerwyn Price in the opener, while Luke Humphreys takes on informed Nathan Aspinall. Peter Wright faces Michael van Gerwen, and Michael Smith meets Rob Cross. And finally, on the score this evening, former Finn Harps player Joe Boyle joins us to look ahead to Friday's League of Ireland fixtures for Finn Harps and Derry City. Former Derry manager and All-Ireland winner Damien Cassidy will give us the neutral view on this Sunday's Ulster Championship semi-final meeting of Donegal and Tyrone. Plus, there's a recap of Wednesday's Ulster Under-20 Championship semi-finals, and Brendan McDade joins us for the latest preview of next month's Northwest 10K. That's all on the score this evening after the 7 p.m. news. Donna Marie.
Thanks, Mark. Looking now to weather, mainly dry with a mix of cloud and clear spells this evening, just the odd light shower, mostly dry overnight with long clear spells and just the odd light near coasts. Patchy mist and fog may develop overnight, lows of 0 to 4 degrees with a touch of grass frost in places. To conclude this evening's news, Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty has clashed in the Dáil with Marine Minister Charlie McConnellogue over his response to letters from Aaron Moore Fisher, Muireann Kavanagh. Comments about the killing of George Nkencho by Gardaí resulted in the Dáil being suspended earlier. Gardaí say there's no reports of injuries following a fire at Ross Bracken outside Letterkenny last evening, and a search has been conducted and a man arrested in Derry following the discovery of £42,000 worth of suspected drugs at the start of the month. That's all for now. Farming news and views will be up with Chris Ashmore just after the obituary notices.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 25th of April. The death has taken place of Mary Bogle, 230 St. Union's Terrace, Rafoe. Mary's remains will repose at her home from 8:30 this evening, with rosary at 9 o'clock tomorrow night. Funeral from there on Saturday afternoon at 2:45 for 3 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Eunan's Church, Rafaux, followed by burial in the family plot in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to Medical 4, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Terence McClintock, funeral director. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of Tony Diver, Green Hills, Dunwiley, Stranorler. Remains reposing at his late residence from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:20 for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorler at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in Stranorler Cemetery. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Elizabeth Porter, Betty, Glebe, Linsford, Buncrana. Betty's remains are reposing at her late residence. Removal from there on Saturday at 10:15, travelling to Star of the Sea Church, Desertegny, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House private, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death occurred on February 3rd in Philadelphia of Kathleen Callaghan, née Crossan, formerly of Trenta, Letterkenny. Remains reposing at her former home, the residence of Patsy and Pauline Crossan, Trenta, from 12 noon tomorrow. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 11:30 for funeral mass at 12 noon in St. Columbus Church, Kilmacrennan, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Kena Barrett, Moira Glebe, Falkara. Kena's remains will repose at her late residence in Moira Glebe, Falkara, until rosary at 9 o'clock tonight. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St Finian's Church, Falkara. The family will then proceed to Athenry in County Galway. Kena will repose at Quinn's Funeral Home, Athenry, from 7 to 8 tomorrow evening. Removal for burial on Saturday morning at 10:45 from Quinn's Funeral Home for burial in Athenry Graveyard at 11 o'clock. And the death has taken place of Lena Catherine McCarran, 9 Marion Park, Buncrana. Remains reposing at her residence. Funeral from there at 9:20 tomorrow morning, going to St Mary's Oratory, Buncrana, for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in Cockhill Cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Alzheimer's Society, care of any family member. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to Highland Radio.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, earlier this week, the Minister for Rural and Community Development, Heather Humphreys, launched a major national awareness campaign to remind dog owners of their responsibilities. The campaign, entitled It's Not Your Dog's Fault, It's Yours, is aimed at increasing awareness of the harm that out-of-control dogs can do and not to allow dogs to be running wild, endangering people, livestock or indeed other dogs. Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue has welcomed the campaign, as have the IFA, but they still feel more needs to be done. To discuss the issue, I've been speaking with Donegal farmer Adrian Gallagher, who is chair of the IFA's National Sheep Committee, and I asked him that given that this issue invariably crops up every year, is progress actually being made?
Well, I suppose, Chris, in terms of progress, I mean, it is progress when the Minister has taken our lobbying seriously, and she's right now with this initiative from a training point of view to inform dog owners of their responsibility. She's launching this campaign now to run over the next 6 weeks. It'll be a digital one, it'll be online, and it'll be information shared, sharing scheme, just really around the responsibilities of dog ownership and what they need to do, what they're obliged to do, what they're legally meant to do, you know, in terms of microchipping, registering the dog, getting a dog license, having your dog with a collar on it. Not only just a collar, but it has to have a name on it, a name, your contact details etched into the collar as well, like, you know. So there's a, just it's just a good reminder, and it's a good training program to inform dog owners what they're meant to do when they do take on the ownership of having a dog, you know.
Do you think it's fair to say that there are quite a few dog owners that are oblivious to the responsibilities that they have and maybe genuinely just don't know what is expected of them?
Well, I believe there would be, actually, yeah, because a lot of younger people now would say, well, they've taken up dogs since the lockdown. I say I wouldn't be aware of their legal situation that they have to do and have to incur when they do take on a dog. So there's no harm in training. I think every couple of years we all get different versions of training for different schemes. I think it's good from our own to refresh our own memories that what we're responsible for in this scenario, you know.
Yeah. Now, the IFA has been to the forefront in highlighting this issue and has a policy of no dogs allowed on or near lands where animals are kept. You believe there should be an increase in certainly in the number of dog wardens throughout the country, because when you look at the numbers, they really don't add up. There's just simply not enough dog wardens there to help police matters and make sure all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed.
Yeah, that's true, Chris. Actually, if you take Donegal alone, like the size of it and the vastness of it, like, I mean, you can't expect one single dog owner to cover from Inishowen right down to Ballyshannon, onto Killybegs, onto Fukara, you know. So it's way, way, way too big an area for one single person to try and manage, we'll say, from a dog point of view, you know. So I think it is important that they do employ additional resources, and I believe they have allocated $2 million towards this, and maybe part of this will be to try and increase the number of dog wardens in every county, you know. I think it's positive what they're doing, but they need to just bring it forward now and get these positions filled.
So it's one thing having laws in place, but the other thing is enforcement. And the actual laws in place that if a dog does cause an issue, tell us, you know, exactly what sort of punishment is there at the moment, and do you feel it is enough?
Well, I don't feel it's enough by no means, because, I mean, it's happened way, way, way too frequently, you know. The minister did introduce an on-the-spot fine of €300 for not having your dog under control. Now, that could be simple, somebody in the park will say not having their dog under control, or it could be somebody walking through farmland not having their dog under control, you know. But look, it's a fine. It wasn't there in the past. Generally, when there is a kill on a farm, chances are the farmer is out of pocket. In most cases, unless we do get an ownership for that dog and they're prepared to pay up for the damage that they've incurred on the farm, you know. So look, it's unfair to expect the farmer to be at loss on every occasion, you know. So, and it takes too long to end up bringing to the court system.
In the last number of years, with the increase in greenways and people going out and about and trails and country walks, fair to say, you know, there are more people out with dogs in farming areas and rural areas. So that overall increase in the number of people out with dogs, that is also adding to the issue.
Well, it is actually, yeah, but I mean, it's fair, true to say too that people need to go and bring their dog a walk, but there's a location and a place and a time to go and do that, you know. And true farmland is not that place, you know. There's other areas where it's dog friendly, and you can bring your dog for a walk and give them the exercise that the dog requires, you know. So
from an IFA point of view, I suppose you'll be watching things over the next few months, and then come the end of the year, maybe a review of how things have gone. And it's one thing having on-the-spot fines, but how many will be issued is another thing, and there needs to be a deterrent. But you do feel this is a work in progress and some small positive steps are being made?
Yeah, it is actually, yeah. I mean, any step forward is always positive, you know. I suppose if we can build on that now, and I mean, that goes under the remit of Minister Humphrey. I mean, under the remit of the Minister of Agriculture, Charlie McCullough-Logue, he should be looking at maybe introducing a single database, you know, where all dogs are tracked, and rather than going through at the moment, we have four different databases out there, you know. So, I mean, when information is put together that it can be easily distributed out to all the dog owners in question, you know, great to see that Minister Humphrey has come up with this one and is prepared to take it on, you know.
Now, just while we have you on, the new sheep welfare scheme up and running. So tell us what your advice is to farmers on that.
It's really important that all sheep farmers apply for it. That's one thing, us lobbying to try and source funding for farmers and then the low uptake. Really, really positive message is to send out that every sheep farmer applies for this new sheep welfare scheme. It's a very simple scheme. You apply it online, either yourself or you can get your agriculture advisor to complete the form for you. Worked €8 per ewe, and there are two tasks to carry out. You have two categories, and you do one in each category. One of them would be like shearing sheep, which is something that we do every year anyway, or body scoring. And the other category then is plunge dipping or vaccinating the sheep. And these are all tasks that most farmers would be carrying out on their farms anyway. It's important that farmers apply for the scheme now. It's opened until May 21st, and carry out the tasks that are required. And hopefully the uptake will be good. So we'll try and lobby the Minister going forward to include this on the budget again in 2025.
And finally and briefly, Adrian, deadline's always important for schemes and a number of things coming up that farmers should just note the deadlines and make sure that they get their applications in plenty of time.
Absolutely. As we all know, the 15th of May is the closing date for the RISC. So it's very important that people apply for that now and get it in and get onto your planner and make sure your maps are up to date and all your land parcels are correct and removed any area that needs to be removed, so it won't delay any payments. It's now the time to make sure we get all that in time, so there's no late penalties or etc. You know, so closing dates are very, very important and we have to adhere to them.
And that was Donegal farmer Adrian Gallagher, who is the IFA National Sheep Chair. And just to add that you can submit your application for the Basic Income Support for Sustainability Scheme up to 25 calendar days after the deadline of the 15th of May. However, for each working day you are late applying, there is a 1% deduction to your payments. In other news, Quilcha, the semi-state forestry company, is reminding students interested in a career in forestry that the deadline to apply for its first ever forestry scholarship is approaching on the 28th of April. The scholarship will offer two students the unique opportunity to pursue a full-time third-level programme within the area of forestry at either UCD or the South East Technological University. Each student will be awarded up to €20,000 to support them with tuition fees and living expenses throughout the programme. Finally, the Irish Grassland Association is holding an on-farm sheep event on the award-winning sheep and cattle farm run by mother and son Margaret and Jack Stevenson. The farm is located between Castlefin and Killigordon, and the event takes place on the 14th of May. We'll have more details closer to the time. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.